dear respected Muslims,
yesterday we spoke about the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the lifestyle, the path, the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So today, before we take the lesson from the fourth juz of the Quran, just to very quickly elucidate and expand on the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The love of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is intrinsic to each and every Muslim mu'min believer. Each and every one of us individually has to love the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And through the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we understand that we ourselves, being the youth, need to empower ourselves with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a hadith, "Addibu awladakum ala thalathati khisal," that instill within the youth, instill within your children three values. The first value is hubbun nabi. The first value that needs to be instilled within the children, within the youth, is the love of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yesterday we mentioned that yes, the society we're living in doesn't accommodate us in following the sunnah. Everything we see is khilaf and is contrary to the sunnah, so it's not easy out there. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man ahya sunnati 'inda fasadi ummati falahu ajru mi'ati shaheed." A person brings alive the sunnah at a time where fitan, corruption is dominant in the land, the person gets a reward for 100 martyrs. What's the reward of one martyr? Before the first drop of blood hits the ground, all his sins are forgiven. So the time not being accommodating to us to follow the sunnah, the time being such that it's difficult for us to follow the sunnah, just means that our reward will be multiplied. The fact that we are performing Salatul Taraweeh, for some of us it may be the first time we're trying to conclude and listen to the entire Quran. By the Qasam of Allah, Allah appreciates our efforts. Allah appreciates the effort of the believer. Allah knows it's not easy out there. That the society is rife, is against Islam. Everything is Islamophobic. But at this time, to show Allah that I love your messenger, I love my messenger, Rasulullah ﷺ said, teach the youth three things. One is the love of Rasulullah. One is hubbu ali baytih, the love of the family of Rasulullah. And the third is the tilawah of the Quran. Because my brothers, if we study the life of Rasulullah, there was no teacher who was more complete, no mentor who was more complete than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How was he as a teacher? A Bedouin comes into the masjid and he starts to urinate in one corner of the masjid. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum are ready to attack this man. How dare you come and urinate in the masjid of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Rasulullah stops the companions, he calls the man after he has finished urinating, and he tells the man and he explains to the man and he teaches the man that this masjid is not a place where we relieve ourselves. This masjid is a place of worship and ibadah. The man, when he goes back to his people, he tells them that I have come to you from the best of humanity. What a teacher. There was no teacher more complete than the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You want to talk about a husband? There was no husband who was more loving, affectionate, compassionate than the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha radiallahu anha says, you have to remember the Messenger was who? Mutawasil al-ahzan, da'im al-fikra. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such an individual, a personality. He had the worry and the fikr and the concern of the entire ummah on his face. But yet he wore a perpetual smile. Sometimes we go through some problems at work. A person goes home and he becomes grumpy and he's angry at his wife and his spouse. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha radiallahu anha says that one day me and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam were walking, and I told the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that let's have a race. Imagine if you see the Imam of the Masjid or community somewhere, you go in a park and you see him racing with his wife. But this was how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. He was complete. So Aisha radiallahu anha tells the Messenger, let's have a race. So they have a race, and Aisha radiallahu anha says, "Fasabaktuhu, fasabaktuhu." I raced the Messenger and I beat him. So Rasulullah kept this in his mind, he never allowed himself to forget. Then she says, فَلَمَّا وَضَعْتُ اللَّحْمَ when I, what's the correct way to say it, when I picked up a bit of weight, Rasulullah told me, oh Aisha, let's race again. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she's thinking, I'll beat him once, I'll probably beat him again, let's go for it, O Messenger of Allah, O my beloved husband. So Rasulullah races her again, but this time obviously Rasulullah won. Who was more complete than the Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam? Rasulullah ﷺ gets married to Safiya radiallahu anha, and before she wishes to convey the animal and the camel. So Rasulullah ﷺ gets on one knee so that she may use his knee as a ladder to mount the camel. Imagine if you walk out this masjid today and you see a man is opening the door of the car for his wife. You go out the masjid today and you see the man is a gentleman, he's opening the door of the car for his wife. You'll say it's either one of two things. Either the wife is new or the car is new. There's no other reason why he's doing it. But Rasulullah was complete. Rasulullah was the perfect husband. Some brothers here are going to become fathers, or some became fathers, you went to daddy class. Open the books of hadith, see the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how was he as a father? What compassion, affection did he show to his children? He's kissing his grandson and a man comes to him and he says, "Oh Messenger of Allah, you're kissing your grandson." So he says, "Yes, I'm kissing my grandson." So the man says, "Oh Messenger of Allah, I have 10 kids, I've never kissed one of my kids." So Rasulullah says that that person who doesn't exercise mercy, Allah won't exercise mercy on him. You want to talk about teacher, no one more complete. You want to talk about husband, no one more loving. You want to talk about father, no one more compassionate towards their children. Rasulullah was that complete individual. And we need to ask ourselves the question, how much do I love my Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam? How much do I really love him? Have I brought his teachings into my life? Have I opened the books of hadith to read? What did my Messenger say in the 23 years of Nubuwwah he was given before his demise? What did he say? What did he teach me? What did he encourage me to do? Just merely saying I love the Messenger is not enough. We have to understand that actions speak louder than words. And Rasulullah, if you want to know the virtue of any individual, any individual, you want to know his virtue, see what his enemies have to say about him. One man and Abu Jahl are sitting in isolation, they're alone. So the man asks Abu Jahl, "Oh Abu Jahl, what do you really think of Muhammad, man? Do you really think he's truthful? What do you think of him?" So Abu Jahl, no one hated Rasulullah more than Abu Jahl. He was Fir'aun wa hadhihi al-ummah. He was the greatest enemy of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But even he had to admit, Muhammad is the truthful one. وَالْفَضْلُ مَا شَهِدَتْ بِهِ الْأَعْدَاءُ. True virtue is what our enemies can say about us. Our enemies should say, "I don't like him, I hate him." But at the end of the day, I have to accept and admit that he is an honest man. Someone who's our competitor in business has to accept, "I hate him and we always go in at the auction, but he's an honest person. He's a trustworthy person. He's a good person. Even if it comes to his business, he's a good Muslim. He's a good human." Rasulullah, his enemies were admitting and accepting that he was the greatest individual. The greatest personality that ever walked the surface of this earth was the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Coming on to the lesson of the fourth juz of the Quran. And subhanAllah is linked to what Imam Patel was saying as well. The first ayah of the fourth juz of the Quran, which is the lesson we'll take, where Allah Rabbul Izzah says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will never ever acquire true piety until you don't spend from that which you love. You have to depart some things which are close to your heart in order to acquire Jannah. The word used in this verse here is birr. Birr generally is translated into virtue and noble actions. But some Mufassirin have said that here birr refers to Jannah, meaning you can never acquire Jannah until you don't spend from that which you love. So the lesson of the fourth juz is a lesson of sacrifice, of giving that which is closest to your heart. This ayah was revealed unto Rasulullah ﷺ. Sahaba were there. Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu comes. He was أكثرهم بالمدينة مالا. He was the most rich individual from the people of Medina. He comes to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he tells the Messenger, "Oh Messenger of Allah, this ayah has been revealed unto you. And the ahab, the most beloved thing to me right now is Bayruha." Bayruha was an orchard and a garden that was opposite the masjid of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would frequent it. He'd eat from the fruit and he'd drink from the water that was in this garden. So Abu Talha says, "Oh Messenger of Allah, the verse says we have to spend that which we love. There's nothing that I love more than this garden. I wish to give it in the path of Allah." فَاجْعَلْهُ حَيْثُ أَرَاكَ اللَّهُ. Put it wherever Allah tells you to put it. Give it to whoever Allah tells you to give it to, O Messenger of Allah. Have I got what it takes to sometimes give something that I love to someone for the sake of sadaqah? Have I got what it takes to sometimes dig into my pockets? We're sitting in the midst of, mashallah, brothers who are maybe millionaires, to dig deep. One scholar so beautifully said it. The hadith of Rasulullah said, giving sadaqah takes away difficulties. He said, subhanallah, the person's got cancer, a life-threatening sickness, but you want to put $10 in the sadaqah. What a great sickness you got, but you want to put $10. Yes, definitely that $10 will go a long way. But if you've got $1 million or $2 million, and you own that much, learn to dig deep into your pockets and give for the sake of Allah. مَنْ بَنَى لِلَّهِ مَسْجِدًا بَنَى اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever makes a home for Allah in this world, which is a masjid. Whoever makes, in another narration, it comes the size equivalent to a nest. A bird's nest in the masjid. He has that much, let's say, for one brick. Allah will reserve for him a home in Jannah. These gates that they're talking about. لَنْ تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. And remember, وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. Maybe you were a bit pressured when the announcement was made. Maybe shaitan deceived us, or maybe our nafs deceived us and said, brother, if you stand up now and say 5,000, you're going to be showing off. Pride is going to come into your heart. You can't do it, man. Just sit down, stay seated. If shaitan and our nafs deceived us, then Allah says to you and I in this verse, if on your way out of the masjid or you come into the masjid early one day and no one is here and you put something into the sadaqah tin, the sadaqah box, وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Shay in Arabic means anything. Whatever you spend, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. Alim means Allah is the all-knowing. Allah knows what you have put in that box. The Muslims are suffering worldwide. It's a global problem. Time to time, in Ramadan, out of Ramadan, make it a habit to give some sadaqah. Allah has blessed us with wealth. Allah has blessed us with so much. Allah has given us prosperity and affluence. Instead of spending our money in haram, when I say haram, half of us know what I'm talking about. Instead of spending it every three, four nights a week, sitting around the table, give it in sadaqah, Allah will give you more. It's the qasam, the promise of Allah, that you spend, Allah says, I'll give you way more than what you have given me. What have you given in my path, I'll give you way more. But why can't we spend? Because we don't have the yaqeen in the words of our Creator. We don't have that conviction which is needed and which we require in order to dig deep. If we had that conviction, for us to drop some money in the sadaqah time to time would be easy. For us to learn to preserve and protect our wealth instead of destroying our wealth, though outwardly it may seem to be increasing. We need to learn to have yaqeen in the words of Allah. Give one, you'll get 10, 70, 700, 7,000. Build that yaqeen in the kalam of Allah. Build that yaqeen and that trust in the words of your Creator and your Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the lesson of the fourth juz of the Quran is to learn to make sacrifice for the deen of Allah. 2 more minutes. When we speak about sacrifice, under the umbrella of sacrifice, so much can come in. For someone performing 20 raka'at is a sacrifice, definitely. Allah appreciates that sacrifice. For someone to control the gaze which is required of us, it may be difficult, especially in summer. Allah appreciates that from us. For someone to help another Muslim at the expense of his own comfort, Allah appreciates that from us. For someone to help his Muslim brother or sister in need, Allah appreciates that from us. The beauty of this deen is whatever we do to come closer to our Creator, Allah the Almighty, He appreciates us. What more do we want than Allah Himself appreciating us? Alhamdulillah, more than a quarter of the Quran has been recited. Tomorrow, 1/3 will be complete. I've been standing for 20 raka'at, 1 hour a night, every night. This is not going in vain. We're building our palaces in Jannah. Let's build that yaqeen that my standing here is not useless. It's not in vain I am building and adorning and beautifying my Jannah, my garden, my palace, my rivers. Sacrifice. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Bilal is being made to lay on the scorching sand of the Arabian desert. A massive boulder is placed on his chest. They're telling him, denounce your religion. Denounce your one creator you claim to believe in. Denounce Muhammad. What did he say? What was on his tongue? Ahadun ahad. Ahadun ahad. One Allah alone. Sacrifice. Rasulullah SAW is passing by. The family of Yasir radiallahu anh, his mom, his dad and him, three of them together simultaneously are being tortured. The Messenger of Allah, he walks past them and he tells them, sabran sabran ya ala Yasir. O family of Yasir, endure, persevere, Jannah is your abode. No one's making us lay on hot sand. No one is torturing us. Yes, we are required to put a brake on our nafs and learn to control ourselves. That's our sacrifice. And Allah will appreciate it. Sahaba were made to lie. Some of them were thrown into boiling water. They never denounced the Allah because they understood, my Allah will appreciate this from me. My Allah will give me a Jannah which will be forever. لا زوال لها, never come to an end. So the lesson of the fourth juz of the Quran is to make sacrifice for the deen of Allah. And my brothers, will end with this. Truth be told, some of us laugh, we mock, we joke the people that are involved in the effort of khuruj, of da'wah ila Allah. We mock them. Our brother, you only know 6 points. He knows 6 points more than us. Our brother, you only know one announcement, my success, your success lies in following the way of... Brother, learn something new, man. You're always singing the same song. We mock them. But look at the sacrifice they are making. Look at the sacrifice it takes for a person to leave his home and his family for a certain number of time with no worldly benefit. A person phones home, he tells his wife or his father or his mother, I'm going on a business trip, I'm going to acquire $2,000 over 2 days. Or let's say $10,000 over 2 days. Will anyone laugh at him? Will be jealous? Will be envious? I wish that was me. But when it comes to the deen of Allah, where a person is acquiring his Jannah, we're mocking them. We're laughing at them. Brother, you're doing bid'ah. We don't even know what bid'ah. What's the translation of bid'ah? We don't know, but we've heard it, so jumped on the bandwagon. Let's be real. We're laughing at these people. We're mocking them. We should be jealous of them, because by the qasam of Allah, it is the same individuals who we laugh at that wake up in the dead of the night and cry for you and I. They make dua, you're taking our names to Allah. At the time where Allah Himself comes to the first heaven and He says, is there anyone that wants anything that I can give him? That person will take our name and say, oh Allah, guide him. Oh Allah, bless him. And then we say, what benefit do I have in going out in the path of Allah? What benefit do you have? You're sleeping in the house of Allah. What more benefit do you want? Sacrifice for the deen. No one's going to sacrifice all their wealth. No one's going to sacrifice their lives. No one's going to sacrifice all their time. Sacrifice some time, some wealth for the deen of Allah. Learn to sacrifice for Allah. When we sacrifice, that's when hidayah will spread. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, why did they sacrifice? Abu Bakr was given the glad tidings of Jannah. What was the need for him when the battle was going to take place? And Umar says that the battle's taking place. I bring half of my wealth. I see Abu Bakr with very little. I tell myself today, oh Umar, you have beaten Abu Bakr. Rasulullah ﷺ says, bring forth what you have bought. Umar says, oh Messenger of Allah, this is half of my wealth. I am giving it to you. Oh, Rasulullah ﷺ brings Hazrat Abu Bakr. Oh Abu Bakr, what did you bring and what did you leave for your family? What did he say? Did he say, oh Allah, oh Messenger of Allah, I'm guaranteed Jannah, I bought nothing, my Jannah is reserved, why do I need to sacrifice? He says, oh Messenger of Allah, I bought everything and I left you and I left Allah and His Messenger with my family at home. He's in Jannah, Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Uthman fil Jannah, Ali. Why are they sacrificing if there's no point to do it? Why are they making all this sacrifice on their families also? Because they knew, you want to come close to Allah, you have to sacrifice those things that are beloved to you. You have to. It doesn't take a rocket, a scientist or a genius to understand this. But yet, when we see the brothers who are worried about our well-being in the Akhirah, we see the brothers who are worried about our kids, then we laugh at them. The least we can do, my brothers, and we end with this, the least we can do is don't comment on what they are doing. You don't want to join them, no problem, don't join them. They got nothing to lose, it's our loss. But let's refrain from mocking them, joking them. Because that was what the hypocrites around the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, they would mock the Messenger. They would joke, they would laugh, they would curse. They were hypocrites. They were disbelievers. So if we don't want to join them, no problem. No one's telling you to join or forcing you to join. But yes, learn to control the tongue. And if we can, join them and learn to make sacrifice for the deen of Allah. If you feel 3 days and 40 days and 4 months is a bid'ah, go one day. Let's see if your nafs will allow you to go for one day. Go 5 days, brother, 3 days is bid'ah, no problem, go 5 days. But then your nafs is going to tell you five is also bid'ah. One is, then you're never going to sacrifice for the deen. And your nafs played you. You'll see when you go to Jannah, this brother, I used to say he was doing this and that. He was sleeping in the masjid, he was rewarded. He was making i'tikaf in the masjid, he was rewarded. I fell behind. Whatever you feel is uncomfortable or you are unhappy with or you are unsure about, refrain from it. Just go sleep in the masjid 3 times or 5 times or 7 times a month. Go cry in the middle of the night for the locality. How many people out of Ramadan are in Fajr Salah? Who's going to cry for them? Who's going to remind them? Who's going to talk to them? But yet, brother, you only know 6 points, man. Singing the same song for the past 20 years, akhi. He knows 6 points more than us. He knows the value of the kalima more than us. He knows the value of Fajr Salah in the masjid. That's why he's there more than us. So if we can't become part of any sacrifice, whatever part of da'wah and deen and sacrifice you want to do, go for it. It can be standing in the middle of the city and giving da'wah. It can be any form, waking up in tahajjud. It can be reading a hadith with the family at the home, whatever it may be. There's many channels and avenues to come close to Allah. There's not only one channel. Choose a channel, choose an avenue and make sacrifice for the deen of Allah and come closer to your Creator. We make dua to Allah Rabbul Izzah. The lesson of the fourth juz is a lesson of sacrifice. He allow us to make sacrifice for his deen. And now the third ayah of Surah Al-Mulk. الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا. Allah is that being who created the 7 heavens perfect. مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَنِ مِنْ تَفَاوُتٍ. You won't see any deficiency in the creation of your creator. فَرْجِعِ الْبَصَرِ. You don't believe Allah? Allah says, look again. هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورٍ. Do you see any deficiency? You will never see any deficiency. Let's try to learn this third ayah of the Quran. And the sunnah for today, yesterday, did anyone act upon the sunnah? We said yesterday, اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الخبث والخبائث. Enter with the left foot, exit with the right foot. So now, if we haven't, let's try. Let's try to force ourselves to remember. If someone told you, my brother, every time you go in the toilet and you do this, you'll get $1,000. You'd go toilet 10 times a day just so you can make that money. And you'll force yourself to remember. When it comes to the deen of Allah, there's no value. That's why we forget. And today, let's say, leaving the toilet, we make the dua, غفرانك الحمد لله الذي أذهب عن الأذى وعافاني سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله وبحمده أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك